And folks, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, admission is free here at the Presbyter for the reopening of Living with Hurricanes, Katrina and Beyond at the Louisiana State Museum here at Presbyter Galleries. You'll really enjoy it. Our next guest, John Georges, president of, what are you? The chairman of the board of Georges Enterprises, the owner of seven newspapers? Eight newspapers?
My son's president now, so I'm a has-been.
You're president of the Georges Travel Agency now?
I feel like you and I are the last two people in town this weekend. Everybody's gone for their last weekend vacations.
No, but seriously, John. John is Imperial Trading Company in Elmwood. He was around during the event of Katrina. We crossed paths many times during that period of time. He was in town, out of town. But it's good to have you. Let's start with your first memory. What do you recall?
Well, I think. It's hard to go back to that day. Just the frame is that our lives were so simple back then. We were, you know, had one business in Elmwood and one on Airline, and nobody knew who I was, and trying to make it and look forward to going to Pass Christian on the weekends, and that was my life. And then a storm hits, and I think people went to work. People just went into action, and to me, it's, you know, pray for the victims of the storm, but I really reflect on the heroes of that storm. And I wasn't a hero, but I was a witness to the heroes and people in my own organization that brought it back, brought other companies back, the obviously the Navy, the Coast Guard. But the real shining group for me as a Jefferson Parish business and an Orleans Parish resident was the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office and its leadership. Newell, you were there. Some of your, even your controller was there. But the guys that you had on the street, the deputies, I got a call Wednesday, Thursday from your head of laser that I grew up with, Robbie Woods. And he said, the stores are closing. People are leaving town. We need to provide supplies for the deputies that are going to be positioned around the area. So they entered our warehouse in Elmwood, which is, it's like a Walmart or a Sam's Club. And eventually they end up headquartering at Sam's. But we provided food, water, beverages, Gatorade to the deputies, and I know you positioned them at the Galleria, Lakeside. People probably on the causeway overpasses. And so that's kind of the beginning for me, and then I was in hourly contact with your people. We were in constant conversation. They were at work, I would say Thursday, maybe 5 days before the real problem hit, and I think by the time the storm hit, they were already fatigued. And those were all my friends. Some of them I called Sheriff LaPinta.
And all that started when the track was still for the Florida Panhandle, not for New Orleans yet.
Yeah.
Just in case.
But somebody said Betsy did that. So none of us, I'm not that old, but we were the young guys back then.
You notice how you dropped that
yes,
in.
Yeah, several times.
I was going to say I was alive during Betsy, and we know what that was like. But no, so when it turned, I think the sheriff's office was really the first organization. I think some of the others were trying to reach. They were trying to reach Nash Roberts. I don't even know if people know who that is anymore. Everyone was trying to get the inside information. And I think we were, you were asking Tim Coulon if he was steady hand and calm. There were some real steady hands. And those are the ones that got us through it. And the people that you and the people that reported to you were the ones that I interacted with the most.
You're downplaying, you said you're not a hero, but there are lots and lots of heroes in this. If you fed and supplied the heroes, you're a hero. If you and your businesses decided to come back after the devastation, and you not only came back, but you grew and you invested in this community, that takes heroic effort too. It takes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of heroes
to
be where we are today.
There's so many, and it's the story's not mine, but I'm fortunately a storyteller now, because now I own the newspaper, the media outlets. I own a historic restaurant, Galatoire's. There's a lot of conversation There are a lot of reasons people came back. We rebuilt schools. We rebuilt churches. Without a church or a school, people weren't coming back. We had friends making decisions for weeks. We had to coax our employees to come back to operate our business. We had one business, one roof, and we lost it in Katrina. So we went to zero from $400 million of sales, and now we doubled down. Now we're $3 billion operation, 7 distribution centers. So the end of the story is great. But looking back, life was beautiful. We saved a city, and New Orleans was worth saving.
And that took heroes at all levels.
As you look at all that went on, you know, there are a couple of defining moments where things started to turn, where it was no longer this sense of despair, but this sense of hope and a sense of achievement.
Well, I like to say that I was always the youngest guy in every room, so I was there, but I wasn't in charge, and I witnessed it. But there was a group, the head of the business council, Jimmy Reese, and Billy Monteleon, myself, and another gentleman. We met in Aspen, Colorado on Monday and reached out to the White House. And it may have been
Sunday. The day of landfall.
Yeah, it may have been Sunday. And we reached the White House. And so there's a story there. And actually, the buses that you saw that arrived at the convention center were ordered from that room. It was not the United States government. It was civilians, private citizens. And those buses that General Honoré directed the convention center were meant to the Monteleon Hotel to evacuate his house, his guests. He called the casino. But we were sitting there coming up with every idea. And then later on, there was a meeting in Dallas of a larger group, bigger civic group. I almost didn't make the cut, even though I had to heavy lift to getting Ray Nagin to show up because he didn't want to go to this meeting. And that was a meeting where some real strategic planning began. Scott Cowan at Tulane. It was an emotionally charged reunion when you first see people. And, of course, the mayor, you know, he's a guy that I knew. I knew the Cox Cable mayor. I knew the Brass Hockey mayor. I knew the Reform mayor. I didn't know this new person that just snapped during Katrina. And he just couldn't get it. And I said in front of the whole group, he said, how am I supposed to get over this, what I witnessed? Now, to him, it was a city that no one was helping. But he didn't understand, because I know the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, which Newell's, sometimes he was tough on the budget, but he allowed them to buy 20 high water Army surplus vehicles before the storm, a helicopter. So you had a sheriff's office with 20 high water vehicles, a helicopter, and because they had a helicopter, other sheriffs from other states and other places came in. And they did coordinated rescues, and they were rescuing everything that needed to be rescued, if you can imagine what I'm saying. And so we knew they were dropping food. I knew they were dropping on overpasses. They were dropping on homes. They were picking people up in Lakeview, in Ninth Ward. I spoke to my friend Woods, and he said yesterday, hundreds of aircraft, hundreds, Coast Guard, Navy, Pensacola, Belche, they were coming from everywhere. And of course, Newell had to be the traffic cop because they were putting refugees in areas that there was no health care, no other system. FEMA was measuring tire lengths on buses. They were slowing the impeding. There was a lot of tense moments. But I witnessed it all. I wasn't doing it, even though I have my moments. My business partner, he hated Harry Lee's call for what's today called the Cajun Navy, which began with that WWL radio call where they were told to go to Sam's Club, and he rescued pets and people.
And that was the birth of the Cajun Navy. And Newell doesn't like to take a lot of the credit, but he was there. He was overseeing them launching these boats from the Causeway traffic circle, from the flooded I-10, into all these communities. Yeah. And that effort saved literally thousands of people. By some estimates, more than 10,000 people.
Yeah, and look, even Newell and I, we've probably never sat around and talked about it. It's hard to talk about. Real heroes, like my father, never talked about World War II. It's very hard. And then when you see modern day media get it wrong, and I want to say the national media because I have a bias there, and I try to correct every Republican legislature that you're talking about the national media. But back to the Nagin meeting, which he has a warped interpretation of the meeting because he went in with a little bias. He said, how am I supposed to get over what I saw of all that water and MREs and things staged at Zephyr, which was a dry venue, and the helicopters were taking it from there into Orleans? And I said to him, just like my father got over World War II, the tempo of the meeting changed. The group became very empathetic. Gary Solomon, the businessman, was there. He was a friend of Ray's. We walked him through it. And then I think Scott Cowan emerged as the guy who really helped organize the, which later became all these different efforts. The governor had hers. The mayor had his. Politics was at play.
We've been talking a lot today, Newell, about dominoes falling just right. And you bring up Scott Cowan and Tulane. And I think a lot of people forget Tulane opened in September. That they opened and welcomed students back. And I remember going there and interviewing these freshmen moving into residence halls. And there was nothing in Uptown New Orleans then. Not a single business open. Not a single person had returned. There was nowhere to go, nothing to do, and it felt like a vast wasteland. But there was this glimmering gem in the middle of it all. Tulane was reopening, and just
and
like the Superdome reopening.
60% underwater as well. There was a dry part, but there was also the part near Claiborne that was underwater.
Right. And they're reopening. And just like we talked about the importance of the Superdome being a symbol of hope and recovery, you can't discount opening Tulane. At a time when many people thought they may never come back to New Orleans, that was a signal people can come back.
Well, I could tell you there, I called the sheriff of Jefferson, Lupinto, and I said, what are you doing for your people? And how many current sheriff's office employees were there in Katrina? He said, I'll call you back. It's 300 people out of 1,400 of their employees. So there's still 300 heroes, and they weren't just sheriff's deputies. They were clerks. They were.
That was a whole bunch of people. I mean,
people around the sheriff.
I appreciate the comments you made about me, but I had folks who didn't have houses, didn't have their families out of town. They're having to work. Mom's calling, you know, wanting to know what's going to happen with the school, the this, the that. They never missed a day. They never abandoned their post. They lived up. They lived for the moment. They did exactly what they had to do.
They sent them home after 12 hours, and they would come back. They wouldn't wait. They wanted to be.
Yeah, and that you saw that over and over and over again. And then, as you pointed out, civilian aircraft that came in. When I talked to you the other day, we both recalled this one gentleman from Tennessee that had a couple of helicopters came down here. And this guy, he would land in areas to rescue people that nobody would do. And literally, no one.
Because it was too risky, but he thought it was worth the risk.
Former military helicopter pilot. I mean,
he's from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
There's another guy from Arizona or somewhere.
Another guy from Arizona that came down. It was absolutely amazing.
I'll tell you
they
another.
Paid for all their fuel, everything.
We
got to get a break, and we'll come right back. We're visiting with John Georges. We're here at the Presbyter for the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Stay with us, folks.
And we're talking with John Georges, who heavily invested in this community in the wake of Hurricane Katrina and was part of the renaissance of Southeast Louisiana and making sure that there was something to come back to. Looking back at it and all those dominoes we talked about that had to fall just right so that we could be here today 20 years later, how do you feel about those billions in investment and how the future looks? Because we just heard in the news that we're losing population now, not gaining, that we plateaued and now it's falling. What does the future look like 20 years after Katrina?
Well, look, as disappointed as I was at the slow response those 3 days, once they came, it was great. I mean, George Bush passed billions and billions of dollars in levee protection.
$15 billion.
Yeah, $15 billion, and you should go see his museum and Presidential Library in Dallas. But I think it began for me when, like Barry Kern said, we're going to have Mardi Gras in 6 months. Could you imagine Mardi Gras?
There's still water in the city, and we're talking about Mardi Gras.
And there were people with him, outside people, some of his clients, like Universal Studios, who said, we will help keep the Kern organization going until the New Orleans people can afford to pay for Mardi Gras. So there was a... Mardi Gras was the first, I think, beginning positive thing. Of course, obviously the Superdome building Saints. But for me, we doubled down on the city. We had people that couldn't come back. We had people that didn't come back. But those of us that came back have been completely blessed. And if you talk about the future, I was the youngest guy in the room in those days. Now I'm not the youngest guy in the room. But there were
You can say it. You're the oldest guy in the room.
Sometimes. But the truth is, when I look around the leadership of our metro area, the people running the convention center are young people. Steve Watson running the World War II Museum, GNO Inc., Michael Heck, Jefferson Parish leadership, state government with the President of the Senate, Cameron Henry. When I look at Steve Scalise, who, if you go back and realize, he was able to pass the levy protection and convince the rest. That was voted down in the legislature first. They went back and realized. So we look at our Speaker, Mike Johnson, the next mayor's race, there are young people running. I think I'm very hopeful in the future. But if you don't think elections matter, just look at Katrina. And the ones that were good, like Harry Lee, and got elected, and of course, he left a legacy that Newell left, and then now we have Lumpinto. So I'm very optimistic on our future. But I can tell you, they predicted we would be smaller. We are smaller. But I think we're strong. We're committed. And I think we have a vision. And our governor seems to want to help New Orleans, even though New Orleans didn't really vote for him. I think that's admirable and an opportunity for us. So, WWL Radio strong. Georgia's media and our things are strong. And can't say the same about other cities. Look at Atlanta. They just lost their daily newspaper to digital. So, but I'm appreciative to be here and think we just need to win another Super Bowl, don't you think?
Yeah.
that would be good.
Two would be nice, too.
Yeah, well.
We could fall into KC footsteps. But yeah.
The only thing I want to say is we can't go back to the same old mistakes.
Right.
And we keep doing that. And we just can't do that. We have to learn from our mistakes.
It feels like there have been fits and starts. Like we have advanced and we've gotten a first down, but then we end up punting again.
Yeah. And that we get in the red zone and we just can't. Look, we had Super Bowl. We had Taylor Swift. We had car dealer conventions. Our tourism was on the board. And then all of a sudden the economy, inflation sets us back a little.
And that speaks to the importance of putting the right people in the right places.
No doubt. Local elections truly matter. John Georges, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. We know that you're incredibly busy, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Appreciate
being
here.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are at the Presbyter for the grand reopening of Living with Hurricanes Katrina and Beyond here at the Presbyter of the Louisiana State Museum. Stay with us.